بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We are reading in this chapter that a person who starts a new method in Islam but within the limits of Islam according to Quran and Hadith, and that is really the work of the great ulama and fuqaha, then he gets the reward of that, and all who practice it in the day of Qiyamah, he gets this reward as well. After the hadith explanation and commentary on the hadith, we read, this hadith teaches us that initiating a good action will draw for one the reward of all those who continue it, while initiating an evil action will draw punishment in a similar manner. Islam is a complete religion, but according to conditions that change and the demands of the time, when there is a necessity to bring about some system, like for example the Tabligh Jamaat started about 100 years ago, before there wasn't a system like that, but it is all within the limits of Sharia, Quran and Hadith. So who started it? Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and who carries on with doing the good work, he gets the reward all the time. On the other hand, any person who started any bidat in Islam, which has got no foundation in law, Quran and Hadith, and he starts it and people follow him, he gets that guna, and whoever follows him, he also gets that guna of those people also. Even after he has passed away and people carry on doing those wrong things, he still gets that guna. The reward for those who initiate good is multiplied manifold, because its ripple effects continue until the day of the Yama. And a person who starts a good system, like for example the system, the compilation of the Quran in one book form, which was not present in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So till today, all who are reading Quran Sharif, who are becoming hafiz, who are doing tafsir, etc., all that reward are for those sahaba who started it at that time. In the same way, in the Quran Sharif, there were no Zabar Zays, Arabs, and Hajjaj ibn Yusuf is the one who had this put in the Quran Sharif. And without the Arabs, Zabar Zays, a person who doesn't, who is not well grounded in Arabic grammar, will not be able to read the Quran Sharif correctly. And so till today, all that sawab goes to him. So all good that a person starts, whoever it started it, he gets the sawab, and those who follow. But this of course is for those people who are well grounded in deen and understand properly what is within the limits of Sharia and what is not. Based on the same logic, we also deduce that the rank and virtue of the classical scholars is far superior to that of contemporary scholars. The great, great scholars of the past, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahumullah, in the field of hadith, Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, rahimahumullah, and in the full field of tasawwuf, all the great, great ulama who initiated this great, great work, and whoever, they get that reward, and whoever is following them also get the great reward. And people of our times, later times, we do not have that capacity in any way. We don't have that yaqeen, that iman, that taqwa, that lillahiyat, understanding of deen, that knowledge, that memory. We lack it completely. So we cannot compare at all with those great people who were in the past. The expression of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam initially changed because he realized that the wealthy did not help alleviate the plight of the poor. The hadith that we read, and when the people of Mudar had come and they were dressed very scantily and their condition showed outwardly that they were in greatly destitute and they were in need of great help. And when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam solicited people to help them, then initially there wasn't a response. that made a change in the face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the people are not responding. When the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum obeyed his call to assist them, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became extremely pleased. But however, afterwards when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw that all were busy helping and everyone brought something and gave something, then he became greatly pleased. We also learn from this, the wealthy should assist and uplift those who are poor. This is also a thing in which we are not only neglecting, but we are living in the complete opposite way. Allah has given wealth to the rich, not for them to live it up and to live better and more extravagantly and more luxuriously. But Allah gave them that wealth to help the poor. But unfortunately today, the wealthy normally only think for themselves. They will go for Umrah after Umrah, for example, Hajj after Hajj. They will go for holiday. They will upgrade their homes, their cars, etc., while the poor around them are suffering terribly, and that does not mean anything to them. That is very, very sad and a very dangerous condition. The rich Allah has given money is not to squander that money, but it is to help the poor. But unfortunately, we don't look at it at all. We don't have a sense for the poor, whereas we have got enough to waste on our children, on their luxuries, their comforts, and in fact, on things which are haram in Islam we will spend. But we won't think of the poor. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extremely compassionate towards the destitute. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam was not a poor person, but he lived like a poor person. And also, he did not have bank balances or huge amounts of money kept by him. But he had always feelings for the poor. He would even take loans, and even loans from Jews in order to help out the poor people. If we can think, if we ever even think of taking a loan to help a poor person. When we have money and somebody is in need, and he comes and asks us, we have enough excuses to make not to give a loan even. Forget giving that money and helping that person. But even a loan we won't give. Whereas Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went and took loans in order to help out the poor people. So with these are, and yet in spite of all this, we regard ourselves as very good Muslims, and that we are very practicing Muslims. Whereas nothing really can be further from the truth. What Islam stands for and who a Muslim is supposed to be, we are very far from that. We haven't even got the slightest whiff of what that means. One should hasten and compete with others in doing good deeds. This is also another area where we are not only negligent, but we are doing completely wrong and opposite, that we should hasten and compete with others in doing good deeds. If we see, we know of somebody getting up for tahajjud at 3 o'clock, we should try and get up at 2 o'clock. If we know somebody is reading 2 suparas, we should try and read 3 suparas. But today our competition is in whose house is more better, and who has got a bigger swimming pool, who wins more in playing sports, and who scores more runs in cricket, etc. All those things we compete with, those things. But whereas what we have to compete with one another, the thought never even comes from the far distance to our mind that we should be those that in doing good deeds, helping out the poor, making more ibadat, etc., striving more for Islam, that we won't compete with one another. But in dunya's matters, we are all the time competing with one another. The behavior of a Muslim should serve as a model of good conduct for others to follow. In this area also, we find ourselves very much wanting, that our character must be such that people want to emulate us. Like for example, small children. In school, commonly they are asked, who is your hero in life? who would you like to become the light? And always they will give the names of some non-believer, some cricket player, or some politician, or some rich man, and even our own children, they will say, I want to be rich like that uncle of mine. That uncle is very rich, I also want to be rich. That uncle of mine drives smart, smart cars, I also want smart, smart cars. But very, very seldom, though they eat, but very seldom, that I want to be like that Ali, I want to be like that Maulana, for example. That is very seldom, whereas that should be the common thing, that person who helps out the poor a lot, I want to be like that person. That person who is worried of the plight of, for example, presently the Palestinians, I want to be like that person. Even with regard to the Palestinian issue, most of us are just out of our mind. Just now and then perhaps a little bit the thought comes, but besides that we hardly think, we don't even make a dua for them. And so our condition is very far. So to bring about new things in these areas and help out the poor, etc., and worry about the downtrodden, the weak, these are things that will bring great merit to a person, and whoever will follow in that, they will also get those rewards. May Allah Ta'ala give us the proper understanding of deen, and that we can practice and bring about changes in the lives of the Muslims and the lives of the people of the world, and thereby make our own akhirat khabar and akhirat also, and that of others as well. Subhanallah.